Good morning. It is always a privilege to get up here and try to help us focus on some spiritual matters and crack open the Word of God and just realize how blessed and as children of God we are. Today I'm going to be talking about childlike faith. Who in here has faith? Raise your hand. Everybody? Rob, you didn't raise your hand. Who in here has childlike faith? There we go. I was looking for the kids. Ethan raised his hand. I didn't tell him to. That was cool. So I looked up a definition for faith, and then we're going to look at also the biblical definition of faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of the things even you cannot see, which is kind of similar to, the biblical one. I got a couple acronyms for faith, and I really, really thought that I came up with this one on my own until I looked up acronyms for faith. The first one, and this is the one I thought, forsaking all, I trust Him. And then the other one I found right beside the one I thought I came up with was forwarding all issues to heaven. Good little acronyms for faith. Does anyone in here think the next breath I take, I'm not going to have oxygen come into my body? We have faith that the next breath I take, man, there's going to be clean oxygen coming in, right? It's just like an unseen thing that we rely on, that we trust in. Something vital to our physical body. That's kind of true for our spiritual faith, right? That we're going to have faith in an unseen God, which we have faith because we read the scriptures and we see what Jesus did for us, and we see that He died on the cross for us, like we just talked about and remembered what Jesus did. And then how the disciples gained faith by the miracles that Jesus did and all the people around them. But also remember how when Jesus had ascended back into heaven, now these apostles had the same abilities to perform miracles and to boost their faith and also boost all those who was around them too, their faith. So if you would, please turn to Mark chapter 10. And I'd like to focus on, there's a lot of things that you can talk about in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to touch on some of them. But my main goal is faith, because faith is very important. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to Him so that He might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And He took them in His arms and began blessing them, laying His hands on them. The thought of Jesus saying this to his disciples. You know, they're the ones that were keeping the children from coming to Jesus, which is kind of a good thought for them. You know, why would children, they didn't need the healing. You know, they didn't need, I mean, I'm sure there were some children, but, you know, but Jesus was like, no, this is how we are, this is how you're supposed to become so that you can inherit the kingdom of God. So, Jesus makes a great point, right? Think about a child. And I have plenty, I mean, you could probably add plenty on to what I'm about to say. A child is innocent. A child, well, has truth in their life, right? They try to tell the truth until they get to a certain age. But you think of a child that wants to tell the truth. A child is not racist. A child trusts they trust in their parent and their peers and the people who are teaching them. A child is forgiving. And a child has unconditional love for their parent, for their sibling, for their grandparents, for people they get to know in the church and they can confide in them and start a good relationship and they have this unconditional love. Because if you really think about it, when you think of a child not being racist, I mean, we can say bias. Children, they don't know color. They don't know the difference in somebody not having all their limbs or somebody looking funny. You know, this makes perfect sense why Jesus is saying this. And you think of a child that trusts in their parent. I could put Naomi on this roof and say, jump to me, Naomi. And I guarantee she would jump to me because she has that trust, that childlike trust. And LJ and I were talking about it. He said, my kids used to love when I would throw them up and fly them over my head when they're little. And then we didn't do it for a while. Then I went to go do it again. They're a little older, and that trust wasn't there anymore. You know, that childlike trust. And that's like a childlike faith. You think of the faith they have. Okay, you're not going to drop me. If you drop them, I mean, they're going to not trust you anymore. But that's the whole idea of having that childlike faith to enter into the kingdom of God, because that's the faith we are supposed to have in Jesus. That's the faith we're supposed to have in our Lord God. Forgiveness. You think about a child when they, you know, on the playground, and a friend, or maybe it's not even somebody they know, pushes them down. You're going to get mad. They're going to get upset. They're going to cry, especially if they get hurt. But they're so quick to forgive. So quick to forgive and forget. They might mention it later on, but when they get home, this little boy pushed me down. But it all makes sense. I mean, you want to tell your mom and dad, but... And then the unconditional love that a child has for their parent. or their loved one, or their grandparents. All these characteristics as a child makes so much sense when you think about it. And then, you know, you think about, well, isn't it funny when Jesus says we need to be like children, but when we're, you know, as adults, he says, now you need to come back and be like a child. But as children, what do we always want to be? Grown up? Just the other day, Naomi's like, talking about being grown up, being what, and it almost brought Samantha to tears, thinking about, why does she want to grow up so fast? And then I think back on my childhood, I'm like, because that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do. And with Naomi, it's like, and it's embarrassing, because she mentions, oh, my husband, she already has a make-believe husband. And then this is the worst part. She has a baby in her tummy already. And you're like, please stop. Please stop wanting to get grown up. But and it's like, what are you, you know, and if you're around somebody, it's like, what are you letting your kid watch? You know? We've been watching Hotel Transylvania 2 a lot, and Mavis has a baby. So, it's just funny how Jesus brings their minds and our minds to think like a child. And it makes perfect sense. And, you know, in Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, if you'd like to turn there. And here's the biblical definition of faith. Because that's what I'm trying to focus on the most. Is faith, because everything we've been going through, you know, in this whole pandemic, I always say damic, and Samantha corrects me, but you know, and we need to focus with childlike faith on God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And here's the kicker. And without faith, I'd like to add, I'm not adding, but without childlike faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we read, it is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible. And guess what? you also have to seek Him. You have to trust Him. You have to follow Him. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Turn back over to, well, right now, turn back over to Mark chapter 10. The rich young ruler, and starting in verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And you know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. So right after Jesus has blessed the little children, here comes the rich young ruler, a young man who is actually obeyed the commandments of Moses, like we were talking about earlier, the second covenant, which I didn't know. I always thought of it as God's first covenant with His people, but Abraham, learned something new every day. But you see the rich young ruler, and look what Jesus says to him. So these commandments kind of line up to what we've been talking about today. So, he's kind of innocent, you know. He's young. He's been doing a good job obeying these commandments. He's probably pretty truthful, a truthful person, even though he's a ruler. Sounds like he might treat his people pretty good, you know. He's not racist. He trusts. He's pretty trusting with his servants. He's probably even pretty forgiving, you know, to obey all this stuff. And then he might even have some love in his life. But then to think about it, what does Jesus tell him? And that's a rhetorical question. I'm bad for that. I want you to think about it, what Jesus is saying. I'm used to preaching at Lottie, so they'll just come out and answer me. They'll say, you know, but it's Samantha gets on to me about that too. Jesus is actually pretty impressed, right? He's like, and Jesus starts to feel a love for him. And he says, "Okay, I think Jesus is like, you're being pretty honest with me." Because Jesus is just like, "You only lack one thing. One thing. Go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And follow me. Seek me. Trust in me. Go sell all these earthly riches. Trust in me. By selling all this and giving it to the poor, faith, you can't please God without faith. And then seek me, follow me." Makes perfect sense. But then he hangs his head. He's saddened and went away grieving. Because he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't give all the earthly things up. He couldn't trust in God and follow Him. And it kind of makes sense too, because what, children, they don't care about money, well, until they get a little older. But Naomi don't even know what money is, or Ethan. They just think it grows on trees. I mean, but if you think about it, you know, we're not to depend on anything. You know, Scripture tells us that God will clothe us, God will provide, God will give us everything we need to live, as long as we trust in Him, as long as we keep that childlike faith. I remember at the beginning of the year, we were still worshiping at Kingsley. And I think it was probably the first Sunday of the month. Denny Freeman, most of you know him, came with this 2020 vision. Let's focus, you know, on God's Word. And then all of a sudden, the coronavirus and all this stuff happens. And I even got my voting rights back this year. And I was focusing somewhat on politics. I'd never been into politics and like kind of trusting in God, but also just like dreaming about politics and dreaming about Trump saying stuff. I don't know. It's crazy. It was crazy. But with how Denny, I thought about what Denny said about 2020 vision and how we should have that 2020 vision on the Word of God, and have that trust and think about how, and if anything, this whole coronavirus and everything that's been going on in the world should bring us closer to God and help us trust Him even more. And that's one thing that drew me to this congregation, was I've seen you guys get stronger through this whole pandemic. And that was amazing to me, that somebody, because there's so many churches out there, so many congregations that have split because they have mixed opinions, yeah, on wearing masks or how they should sit, you know, just over that little stuff like that, that you would break up a congregation, or how they should meet outside, inside, whatever, you know, but to stay strong and focus on God is what I've seen with you guys. And I'd give myself a little pat on the back if I was you, because y'all done good. But, you know, and it brings me back to what Jesus was really saying about being childlike in Mark. You know, when I look at it, I see the character of Christ, the character of God. He was innocent. He never did anything wrong. We're supposed to become like children and be innocent. Christ was full of truth. He is the truth, the way, and the life, right? Nobody can come through Him or come to God except through Him. Jesus was definitely not racist. He loved and healed everybody. Always, anybody that came to Him, blame. What's the crazy disease? Leprosy. You know, people didn't even. I mean, people were pretty. I mean, of course, I wouldn't want to catch that either. But you think about how many people were like, "Get away from me, just stay away." But Jesus welcomed them, you know. And to think about Jesus, who did He trust through his whole, 33 years of life? God. He is very trusting. Even though he is the Son of God, and he came down from heaven and became flesh, he was still flesh, right? Like us. He still trusted in God. And then, of course, forgiving. Jesus was forgiving. We're just seeing these characteristics of Christ. Even hanging on the cross, he said, "Please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I'm paraphrasing. You know, could you do that? Could you do that? And then unconditional love. Think about a child when they have unconditional love for their mom and dad. I mean, probably all of us have got spankings. And I've had to give spankings, you know, and to my children, and they get upset, but man, they always come back, and I always try to talk to them, and tell them, you know, do you know why you got a spanking? And you know, and of course they do. I act it out, you know, I shouldn't have pushed Ethan down, but they always come back, and they show you that love, that unconditional love. I love you, Daddy. And that unconditional love that Jesus had for us and that God has for us is amazing if you really think about it. The unconditional love that he had to give his life on the cross for us. Being innocent. Being without fault at all through his whole life, but he wanted to die for us so that we could have salvation. So, is your trust in God childlike? That's what I want you to take home with you. Is your trust in God, are you thinking like a child and thinking about, you know, Jesus, that's what Jesus wants us to do, is think like children. We are to become like a child. And we're justified, you know, Romans 5, 1-9, we're justified by this faith that we have through Jesus' blood. So that we are children of God. Makes sense, right? Children of God. So that we have salvation, so that we can enjoy a home in heaven someday with God. And just remember, Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Thank you for your good attention. And it's always a privilege to come up here and try to direct our minds in a spiritual way. There might be one that these things are all new, and you've never thought of it this way, and first time really wanting to get to know God. You know, if you're not a Christian, time is now to become one. Come up here, confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the Son of God, and repenting of your sins, and then let one of the men of the congregation baptize you so you can have your sins washed away and become a new creature. And maybe you're already a Christian, but you just lack some trust, some of this childlike faith that we should have, that God wants us to have. And you just need the prayers of the congregation. You need to renew your faith and just, man, I am a firm believer, and probably all of you are too. Prayer works. Prayer is powerful. And, you know, maybe you just need some prayers. Maybe it's something that you haven't let anybody know about, and it just needs to come out so that we can pray for you. And if anyone has a need, we always make this time to come forward, and while we stand and sing.